What's going on? It is a great day. It is Sunday, and I am here on the 28th of January, coming to you to have great conversation. That's what we're doing today. We're having great conversation. So this is a special treat for you guys. So first of all, hey, how y'all doing? We are here. So, I am coming because this is a special series. We are talking about my book. I've been telling y'all we was going to do this, and we are here doing it, y'all. Like, I'm here giving this conversation, and I'm not about to pretend this conversation is about to be easy, as tomorrow is definitely a stretch, as I am celebrating my mother's healing of 10 years. And so it is timing of when we are doing this. So I can't wait. We're going to go through this and we're going to go through, I'm going to talk about it, but welcome. So welcome to a special series of I Am Shatoria, the podcast hosted by your girl. I am Shatoria. Y'all know who I am. And I am the owner of the brand I Am Shatoria. And so we're going to be talking about my book. So over the next few weeks, we're going to dive into every chapter, and I mean every chapter, of the book, Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom. So I hope you guys are ready. I'm telling you, grab your tissue, get your copy of your book, and send in your questions to my Facebook, IG, whatever you're going to do, and I'll have it in the thing so you can do it. But send me your questions and everything. So I can make sure when if I need to do a live or something, because these are all pre-recorded, as I have to prepare myself for this. And yes, it is pre-recorded because I need to prepare my whole life for what I'm going to say. And so even though I write down things, do understand that that's not how it always is going to, going to be. Like, got to just do some things. Okay. So we are going to, like, no kidding, like, get into some stuff. Okay. So as we prepare, so I'm going to give you time. Give me 30 seconds. Go grab your, whatever you need to grab, get your tissue, make sure you got your book, make sure you're ready. We about to get it in on the Forgiveness to Freedom, Authentic Transparency. So we about to talk about it. All right. Giving you 30 seconds. Go get it in and let's go. Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom. Come and read a story about my faith. Learn all about my forgiveness and forgiving of others. How I embrace the freedom that I currently have. You can get Authentic Transparency, Forgiveness to Freedom at Amazon and IamShatoria.com. So we are back, and I hope you guys are ready for this conversation. And so one of the biggest things that is tugging, because I'm making sure I say right, but at the same time, I already told you, we're going to be hitting these topics over the next couple of weeks as we go through the 19 chapters of the book, including the one that kind of messes people up, which is chapter 4 called 7. And we'll get into that. And if you read the book, you know what that is about. So we're just going to go through it. I know some people had questions. Some people was like, wait, time out, girl. What? Whoa. How, why, when, where? And so we're going to get into it. And so as I know, I have friends, family, students, parents, coworkers, you name it, I know it's there. I know it's there, and I'm okay. And so my prayer is that people understand this right here is my story, my truth, and who I am. It is not about anything or anybody else. It's about me. And I feel like it is time for it to put out. This is the year of purpose. This is the year of realness. And then I'm talking about, y'all, look, even though I'm saying we're doing 19 chapters, one chapter may take longer. Like, I'm telling you. And then also, by the way, in the process of us doing these podcasts, I will be having some guests sometimes come in as we hit on certain subjects. So do you understand? We're talking about healing. We are talking about love. We're talking about trust. We're talking about faith. You're going to hear faith a lot. You're going to hear forgiveness a lot. You're going to hear freedom a lot. You're going to have healing a lot. We're talking about family secrets. Look here. We're over the time frame of letting dead dolls lie. Like, we're over that. It is a point where people need to hear the realness and understand what is really going on. Because here's the thing. We can't heal if we're not being honest. We can't heal if we are not being forthcoming and true. Like, as a teacher, I'm very upfront. I am transparent. I have students who are reading this book. And the reason for that is because at the end of the day, there's a gap that needs to be filled. We have people hurting. So why lie about who we were? Like, why? What's the point of keeping that secret? What is it doing for that child? So my goal is to make sure that this stuff is out there. This is for me. Nobody can tell my story but me. I don't care who they are. Blood, friends, I don't care. It's my shoes. I laid in it. I'm going to tell my story. Hence why I wrote the book. Okay? So, again, welcome. You can check me out at iamshatoria.com. And also, you can get your copy of my book, Authentic Transparency, at iamshatoria.com/merch. You can get it signed if you order directly from there. I can make sure you get your copy as we are talking about this book. All right. So the biggest thing I want to talk about first is the one that everybody seems to get about me. All right. Faith, forgiveness, and freedom. We are covering the introduction and the first chapter, which is foundation. And I'm really big about those two because, and I'm going to be looking up and down because I should have my book in front of me. I'm really big about those two because let me tell you, when I wrote the book, I put it on my social media yesterday, Saturday. I talked about how I sat in my friend's house and I had been back and forth about the book, and I sat at my friend's house and we talked. Y'all, it was supposed to be like a 30-minute session. It turned into a 5-hour. And so it is the point where Authentic Transparency was birthed. And I remember us brainstorming. Something I teach my students is brainstorming. And I brainstormed with her. And oh my God. Oh, I had a lot of tears because now I'm being vulnerable. I'm being open. And let me tell you, in order to write this book, I had to be very, 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 very transparent about some things. And so I am here to be transparent with you about those same things, because it's cool to read it. You know what I'm saying? But to hear from the author's mouth myself, that's what we're doing. So I'm praying that this blesses you. You can see this podcast. You can hear it on iamshatoria.podbean.com. And you can watch it on youtube.com/@iamshatoria at 10 a.m. on all release dates, which I will put out soon as we are kicking in all 19 chapters. Okay. So just be ready. And also thank you for allowing, helping me get to 50 podcast shows. This one particularly will be number 52 as we are flowing. All right. So, this past Monday, as I heard you heard me say, today is Sunday. By the time you see this, is Thursday. But this past Monday, January 29th, made the 10th anniversary of my mother's death. So here's the reason why this book is so important to me and me getting my words out, as this year will be 3 years since its release on May 1st. And so it is very important. So one of the things we're going to start off with, like I said, what is faith, forgiveness, and freedom? What is that? All right. So then we're going to first start off with, what is faith? Let me tell you something. I am a faith individual. If you know me, you see me on social media. If you on my Facebook page, you know, it says Shatoria Faith Christian. No, that is not my middle name. However, let me tell you, everything about that word stands with me. I am a faith person. I stand on it as it is who I am, what I breathe. I have mustard seed in my office. And when I give out or when I send packages to clients or whatever, I put a mustard seed in there because I think it's important to remember and know that our faith is strong. So it goes back to the end, what I said, what is faith? So Faith is a strong belief of believing in something that you don't see. Let me tell you, I got a vision board. You can't see, but I have a vision board here. Well, I have this particular vision board, and then I have my dry erase vision board that's going on that tells me my events, my to-do list, and my faith spot. And I got a vision board over here for me and my daughter where we're standing on things. I'm really a big about, you know, I don't see it, but that's okay. And if you know me, you know I stand hard on faith. I play no games about faith. I don't care who you are, what you are. Faith is my word. Like, it is my whole word. Like, y'all, that's my thing right there is faith. But then for me to deal with this book, I had to do a lot of soul searching, and that came with forgiveness. So the thing is, what is forgiveness? What does that look like? I literally just played in my head. It says, if you want to know what heaven looked like, it looked like me and you by Maverick City featuring Kirk Franklin. If you want to know what heaven sounds like, just let it fill the room. And forgiveness is, no kidding, is what I literally just put in my head. And so forgiveness is an intentional act of letting something go. That's the way I broke it down, y'all. The intentional act of letting something go, okay? You got to let some things go. And that's one of the things I had to do in order to write this book. Trust me, I could not have written this book if I was not forgiving and if I was not healed. And I'm telling you, a lot came from this. And my last one, which is one of my favorite words, is, what is freedom? Oh my God, this is my word right here. Like, y'all, this is my word. But for me, freedom is the liberty of making choices in my life, beliefs, and lifestyle. It allows me to say, this is what I believe in. This is what I stand for. And nobody can change my mind. And being part of a person who, hey, I live in the United States, I have the liberty, I have the freedom to make choices. So I'm very, very proud of myself and being able to live my best life, okay? So one of the things that I want to go through is, all right, so we're going to start with the introduction. So one of the biggest things about the introduction that it speaks about is, so it's called The Order of Freedom. Y'all, I'm telling you, when I wrote this book, I promise you, I didn't have no chapter names on anything at a time. I just wrote, and then God started giving it. So it's not surprising how God be operating. You know, Jesus, y'all, the Holy Trinity be playing. I'm telling y'all, they be making me laugh. But it's funny how I called the very first one. You got your preface, but you got your Order of Freedom. And I talk about the Order of Freedom, which is faith, forgiveness, and freedom. I talk about the realness of that. So the biggest thing for me, so I'm going to be honest. So if you have the book, you already know the pictures in it. But so here's the thing. I'm going to show everyone who's watching. So this is your girl as a baby. Okay. You see me as a baby. But for the order of, and one of the first things I wrote on there is, you're made to walk through the storm. And that's funny. I'm going to get on that in a second. Well, let me say that now. These are things that I promise you God gave me. So it says you are made to walk through the storm. And so today at church, surprisingly, I'm going to pull up my notes from it. It talked about storms. And it's funny how God is just doing things today. The Spirit is just really working. When it says we are made to walk through the storm, it was the peace in the times of storms. What should you do when you're not in a storm? What should you do when the storm is here? And what should you do when coming out of the storm? And so the key things that I've taken away was, what should you do when we're not in a storm? We should be preparing. I didn't realize God was preparing me for storms that was coming in my life. And so a lot of things in this book were storms. When the storm is here, wait, pray, and praise. Let me tell you, I put that on my social media yesterday, where the song is, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And he's going to renew my strength. And I'm going to wait. It doesn't look like it's right, but I'm going to wait. And so that's literally what I got today. And then what should we do when we're coming out the storm? And that's thanking him and telling other people of his goodness. And that's what I'm doing today, is being transparent and honest and telling you, I am praising him for the goodness and the mercy, because I'm telling you right now, this book wasn't about me. It was, but it's not for me, because I've healed from it and I'm here to help others. Every picture had a meaning. So you see this picture right here. The Order of Freedom. So let me tell you, that picture is significant for me because I remember this day, like what was going on with my mom. And my mom's not here to tell her story, but the only gist I will give to you with that picture is there was a lot of hate at that moment going on in my life. And remind you, at this picture, I was maybe 2 or 3. So there was a lot. And in front of it says, I am beautiful. So if you know me, you know my past. If you read the book. But if you know me and you knew my past, you knew that my livelihood, my growing up was not the best. And I had a lot of issues with self-worth, self-love, self-everything. That just was not my thing. And so in this particular chapter, as we introduce in freedom, one of the things that took me to really get to where I needed to be and I have understanding was the honesty within myself, having honesty with myself. So here's the thing. I had plenty of people tell me, why did you write this? Like, you really just put out your whole business. And let me tell you, when you're honest with yourself, it doesn't matter what anybody else think, feel, or wonder. When you're honest with yourself, what are you ashamed of? When you're honest with yourself, I did the things that I did because that's what I knew. When we're embedded in a way, let me put it like this. When we teach our children as they are growing up, don't touch the stove, don't touch the outlet, don't touch none of that. They're going to test it anyway and try it again, right? And they get spanked. That's a lot of us. That was me. And I was one of those ones, don't do that. Don't date this person because he's not good for you. Don't just be giving yourself away because then now you're carrying on these spirits. You know, have a little confidence about yourself, because if you don't, people's going to tell you who you are. Let me tell you, that was me in every ounce of me that can be. That was me. And yes, that is what I did. That's who I was. But here, the past tense is what I did is who I was, because the person I am now is no longer these things. I am not a perfect individual. However, honesty with myself has been key. And staying honest has helped me to really be transparent and go, okay, Tori, this is how I be talking to myself too, by the way, so whatever. When I wrote this book, I literally had to be honest with myself. I can't write a book about authentic or transparency if I'm not being that. If I'm not doing these things, I'm not being honest. So I had to be honest in here. And yes, I had people, they bought the book because they wanted to see I was going to name drop. They talked about me. But here's the thing. You can't make me feel bad about something I put out there. I did it. Here's the thing. It's not something I'm currently doing. I did it. Yes. So, and we'll get to those things. If you have not read my book, I'm telling you, get the book. Because I'm real in it. Like, I'm real. I can't sugarcoat these things. I'm real. So again, get your copy of the book so you can understand what I'm saying. And, you know, so one of the things that I wrote in my book that really stands out for me is, so I started going back to church in 2003. And let me tell you, 2003 was one of the craziest storms I went through, because everything is significant now for me. But January 13th, I went to this New Base Shepherd Air Force. Well, not new, but it was new for me. Shepherd Air Force Base in Wichita Falls, Texas. And that's when my shift, it was a shift. And so a lot of that changed. And this is when my faith started. This is when my faith started to really manifest in the way I started attending the church, Eastside Facing, which is still my spiritual home to this day. Pastor Carl, First Lady Lisa Brewer, my spiritual parents, where they have watched me from a baby. And what I mean by that, I am talking about spiritually. My Christianity was a baby. Yes, I attended church in Greensboro, Georgia, where I was raised. You know, we started off at Antioch Baptist Church, and then we went to Springfield Baptist Church. And I still remember the grounding and the words I got from there. That has not changed. And it's funny how the Bible talks about the prodigy son. And the Bible speaks about how the prodigy son comes back home. That was me. And 2003, when I left high school in 2001, y'all, I didn't go back to church. I graduated in May 2001 and I didn't go back to church. My grandparents was very disappointed. I did not go back to church until I went to basic training, and that was because I didn't feel like being bothered and being in the dorms. But I never forget when I finally started going back to church. That wasn't until March of 2003. I'd been at Shepherd by that time 2 months, and I lost the one and only my grandfather, who died February 12th, 2003. He raised me and he adopted me. And crazy, I found out that year, at this time I'm 20 years old. But I really got the understanding of the gist of pain. Like, here's the thing, I dealt with pain, but y'all, that pain hit different. Because for me, despite the fact I had living parents at that time, my grandparents were my parents. And for me, I lost that dad. You know what I mean? I've had loss before. I lost my uncle, who was my dude. Like, that was my guy. My mother's dad, I lost him, but I was young. But here's the thing. Memory is something. He started my teddy bear trend, which I'm still whole adult, and I still remember my teddy bear trend. You guys got to forgive me, because there may be moments where I got to get tissue as well. But these are memories that I have. And I promise you, I used to ask God, I'd be like, why do I have these memories? I don't want these memories. And he reminded me these memories wasn't for me. It was to bless other people with, because he was going to heal me from it. And that's what he did. And so I remember that opportunity of my grandfather being that guy. And so I remember losing him. And the crazy part about it is, it was the one time it was like, I didn't get to say bye. I didn't get to, you know, I didn't. And so this is when the trail really got started, and my faith, my life really had to change. And so one of the things Pastor Carl has taught me was literally being a faith person. And that's what it was. And so I've stood on faith for so long, to where I promise y'all, I had a classmate, I can't remember which one my husband told me, but I had a classmate who also said the same thing my husband said. It was like, you always said you was going to write a book. And I was like, for real? That's one memory I don't remember. However, it's the fact that others remember, and I'm blessed for that I'm able to do that. So here we go. And so I talk about in the introduction, the memories that I had of certain things, being in faith, and how I used to envy other individuals. Like one of the ones I wrote, it says, many children have memories of baking cookies, having dinner together, and maybe riding their bikes with their friends. My first decade of life wasn't any of these type of memories, and sincerely, there are moments I wish I could forget them. Most of those memories include my relationship with my mother and how that affected my intake of life and relationship with the others. One of the things I had to learn was the relationship that I built with my mother wind up flowing over like a river into other relationships. And I realized that my mother had a lot of things going herself, but the miraculous woman that I've learned that she was, it allowed me to really see her for who she is. One of the biggest things about me is I have never until recently been a woman of authority. And what I mean by that is I've always been a yes person. And in the introduction, it's important that I put that out there so you have an understanding. When you started to read the foundation, you're like, wait. So the authority concept was my mother. My mother had a very strong authority mindset. I'm going to tell y'all something. My mother played no games. She had a very strong authority mindset. It was nothing to play with. Like, I kid you not, y'all. It was nothing to play with. And that's something I had to really translate in my mind, that this woman played no games at all. And so that strong authority demeaned me. And so it led really strongly in my childhood to where, yes, talkative kid, cool beans, but I wasn't. And that's going to go over a lot of people's head. They're going to be like, okay, but you talk. Mm-mm, baby, let me tell you something. The loudest people are the most silent ones, because they're not saying everything. They're not talking everything. They're not putting everything out there. And so that was me. I didn't put everything out there. I was afraid, and you know, it one of those things was, and I talk about in the foundation, that my mother was a "you better suck it up" type of person. She was not sympathetic or empathetic, nothing. My mom, I can say now she wasn't, but then in my mindset, my mom was mean. But now I can say my mom was angry at that time. My mom had a lot of issues she was dealing with. Again, not my story to tell. There's only certain things I can tell because it was related to me. And even though she's not here to tell her story, a lot of it that I know, I can tell to a point, but I can't get the details because she's no longer here. And there's things that we did talk about that I was like, oh, I get now. And so she's tracking because she knew I was writing a book at the time before she died anyway. I wrote it here. My mother was a woman who carried such a strong authority about her. She could command a room when she walked in like a commander of a military unit. She used her contagious smile and a sparkle in her eyes. Her eyes sparkled when the sun hit them and caused a glow of light, almost like a flashlight being used in the dark. Such a beautiful sight to see at such a young age. Y'all, my mother, my girl, my mother had a very strong sense about her. However, my mother didn't know who she was. And the sad part about it is because she didn't know who she was, it made it to where I myself didn't know who I was. And that right there is what triggered a lot for Shatoria Lowe at that time. And as I finish up with the introduction of this, one of the biggest things is my mother, y'all, was a bad girl, y'all. First of all, y'all, so my mother was born in 61. And I wrote in here, behind the smile, the beautiful scent, and the sexy attire, my mother could be mean and hurtful. Let me tell y'all something. My mother was so cool, though. Again, I caught that as an adult. But my mom, let me tell you, and I got it from her, and it's one of those things I really had to learn to use. But my mom had a whole entire aura about her. And I learned that's a dangerous thing right there. When you have an aura and you are not spiritually there to handle business. And that is what my mother, that's what my mom was. She had an aura about her. She was so dope. One of the things is I didn't like who I was. Let me tell y'all something. My students are laughing because in chapter one, when I talk about foundation, I talk about my forehead. So there was a lot of things about me I didn't like. Crazy part about this, I never heard my mother speak negative of herself. Okay? That's key. I never heard my mother speak negative of herself. However, I know I spoke negative of myself to where my grandparents saw it. And that's what took a toll. But we'll get into that later too. I had to grow up to learn to love me. The whole me. The big forehead, which I also put in my book. I said my forehead's biggest Texas. I'm telling you, some of my students think that is hilarious. And yes, again, I could talk about me because it's quite okay. One of the things learning with the faith and the forgiveness and the freedom was, despite the pain that was inflicted on me by my mother, the one that was supposed to nurture me, the one that was supposed to love me, the one that's supposed to, who carried me for all this time, I was born to a woman that was bitter. I was born to a woman who was hurt. I was born to a woman that was in pain that had not yet subsided or have been healed. And that is because she didn't know how to be healed. That is very key to where you have to know how to be healed, okay? And so in this book, we go into what the healing looks like in a whole entire night. And that is what the pain taught me. And so I had to be honest about it, you know? Again, honesty with myself. I say it now, as an adult looking back, I have had many heartbreaks. I have caused my own heartbreaks and tears over the years. In reality, I am just like my mother, not just in looks, but in my mindset. Let me tell you something. It goes back to being honest with myself. My mother was a beautiful woman, and so am I. But my mindset was absolutely horrible. Beautiful on the outside, my inside, well, beautiful inside and out. However, I was damaged. It's like a Barbie doll that my daughter, she's really bad with it too. She, you know, you hitting it everywhere. Barbie's beautiful, black, white, all of them. They're gorgeous, but they are being beat every which way possible. To where you couldn't see the bruises. However, I had internal bruises, I had spiritual bruises, I had physical bruises. To this day, I still have marks that I live with, and they don't affect me like they did then. So it's one of those things to where I'm having to remind people that it's okay. I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. So I'll leave that there. One of the biggest thing I talk about is hate. I can say now, my mother didn't hate me. However, that's what it felt like. And so I had to imagine having the worst heartbreak ever. I write in here, my journey was just beginning and my life was in for a full rotation. This walk has been hard and many days I just knew I would not make it. Parts of this walk for me was like walking on hot coals and just trying to make it from point A to point B. One of the biggest lessons of my life is learning to forgive and forget. This was hard to do, but I needed healing. Healing from hurt and pain that was just haunting me. Y'all, the pain that was caused from a child to an adult, and I'm talking about even after I was 20 years old in the military, haunted me to the core. So, and we'll get into that because again, my book stops at 2017. So as I'm talking about getting ready into foundation, one of the things is, let me see where it is, how I ended the introduction. Okay, being here required for me to remember the memories that were holding me down by my arms, head, heart, and my soul. My healing wasn't something I was ready for, but the very thing I had to accomplish in order to be free. Okay, that is in the introduction section. So again, being healed required for me to remember the memories that were holding me down by my arms, head, heart, and my soul. My healing wasn't something I was ready for, but the very thing I had to accomplish in order to be free. I cannot stress that enough. My healing wasn't something I was ready for, but the very thing I needed to accomplish in order to be free. And so one of the things I posted on social media this morning was foundation. So if you don't have the book, this is your girl. This is one of my favorite photos. So this was Christmas 1989. And I was cute, had my little blue jean skirt on, y'all, with this purple sweater. This purple sweater means a lot. So in the beginning, it says, don't allow the small you to control the big you. Let me tell y'all something. This small little girl right here hated life. So one of the things I talk about in foundation. So foundations are very, 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 very important, because what I said this morning online was for Soul for Sunday is foundation is huge. If you do not allow the foundation to completely dry, completely curve, do what it needs to do, and you touch it, put your feet on it, you know, you're helping the foundation not to be perfect. A foundation needs to be perfect in order to build on it, so you don't have to later on go. So when that shift happened, the house is still standing. And that's the one thing that I went through. And that's the reason why this first chapter is called Foundation. Foundation is very big for me because my foundation started very early. And however, I watched my mother go through domestic violence and the whole time. And a lot of things that she went through, I wound up going through herself for certain things like drugs, not to her extent, alcohol, not to her extent, but you know. But you're looking at a young lady. So my foundation really deterred how I saw life. What I mean by that is in my foundation, and I'll talk about it in here. So I've had 5 elementary schools, okay, by the age of 10. 5. My very first one was North Avenue. One of the most traumatic events I never forget. So North Avenue was one of the hardest places for me to grow in my head because it's one of the ones I had the most memories from with being in school. So, and I talk about that as school for me was an escape route. And as a teacher, a lot of my students, they see school as an escape route for them to go. So I'm always big about walking in and making sure my students are loved because I get it. So 5 different elementary schools in 5 years. All right. So, and technically we're going to be honest, 4 years because I have a late birthday. So I started school late, but I remember, so, and I talk about it in foundation. So I remember the little purple sweater and I was that kid that was on a merry-go-round and kids hated me. They talked about me. But now as an adult, I get it. They were being kids, but still, you being called stank and a whole entire night. And I remember crying and I wrote it in here. I cried, y'all. I cried because they talked about me so bad and I wanted to fit in. Even then I was a people pleaser. I wanted to fit in. I say here, they carry a sense of meanness with a little rudeness in them. Being bullied was a norm for me and I became numb to it. I was so numb that sometimes I acted if I didn't hear them talking about me. And let me tell you something that carried on with me as an adult. I literally will walk as if I hear you. I hear none. You say it. No, I don't know what you're talking about. That was the hardest thing to deal with because it's a reality. You know, oh, I know you're talking about me. Ah, why you don't like me? Well, you stink. My head looked like who did it done and why. My hair was not always done. I always didn't have on clean clothes. That purple sweater is significant for me as I am wearing purple today. It was my mom's favorite color. You know, she used to rock red, y'all. Red was her thing. But I'm wearing purple today because it was my mom's color. And so that purple sweater, y'all, I love that purple little sweater. And it had holes in it. You can't see that in the picture. But it had holes in it. But we had them on the clothes. It said, so one of my painful days was a day that sent me home crying. My mother picked me up from school, which wasn't often. I was out playing on the school playground and rocking my favorite sweater and jeans. Like I told you, it was the purple sweater. I was just having the greatest time on the merry-go-round. I asked a little girl to spin me again, and she said no as she turned her nose up at me. I don't understand why she just did it for me and another kid, but that kid jumped off as well. She yelled, pointed at me as she yelled, "I stink." She said it so loud that the whole playground saw and heard it. The other kids on the playground laughed and pointed while calling me names. I even had some kids come and sniff me. I felt like a wet doll and there was no place to run or hide. This was one of my embarrassing moments and the start of my downfall of my self-worth. Y'all, let me tell you something. I still remember like it was yesterday. On this merry-go-round and literally kids came up smelling me as if I was a little dog or something. And I remember it as if it was yesterday. And it was embarrassing. But what was embarrassing the most is my mother. I saw my mother coming, y'all, and the first thing that came to my head was to clean my face. I didn't want her to see me crying. And so I wrote in here, I told her what happened and she became a drill sergeant. And remind you, my mother didn't have no military in her too. She asked many questions that I couldn't answer. And honestly, I didn't want to. My mother concept of feeling sorry for yourself was suck it up, buttercup. For her, crying was weak and she didn't care about your age. Having a weakness wasn't ladylike. After she got on me, it was time to go. She seemed like she was tolerable because at least she didn't act out. Walking home with her seemed to be the longest walk home ever. And my mother made me remember that whining wasn't something we did. Walking home, I even smelled myself because I wanted to know. I didn't like the way I smelled or looked, but what was I going to do? As we start to get closer to home, I see our apartments. Our apartments were the same name as my school. North Avenue Elementary School. Funny how all the places I stepped foot in were all named the same thing back then. The apartments looked like they were made from the same bricks the school was. We had a 2-bedroom, which may have been at the most 8,000 square feet, not including the small 2-step porch that was in the front. By the time we were home, my mother hasn't stopped worrying since we left the school, and it took a lot for me not to cry. Her words was harsh and was stabbing my soul. She was saying things like, "We are not weak," and "Stop crying all the time when I get picked on." Some of her words she liked the most were weak, slow, stupid, and whining. My punishment for telling my mom how I felt was going to my room. I lived in a home that had burglar bar doors. So it sounded like when you close it, it sounded like a jail cell. Sounded like you was in a jail cell. It was like prison. For me, I wanted the day to be over. I wanted the moment to be over. I wanted the time to just be over. And honestly, and I wrote in here, this was my life. So let me go back. I said, I push aside my thoughts at the sound of the door opening and shutting. And when it shuts, the sound is harsh and loud. This was my life. And I felt like it was the Groundhog Day movie. This is when the actor relived the same day over and over. And it seemed like it was never going to end. I just wanted to have a good day. There was no one. There were good day where no one is mean or rude, but just a good day. I waited every day for tomorrow. I wanted tomorrow to be new, but tomorrow came and it was the same as yesterday. My one wish that I had was that tomorrow would be the beginning of new things. I'm looking how to say this. This is the moment where becoming my authentic self became a real thing. It became a real thing. And so I need everyone to understand that this journey into learning who I am, my identity, embracing who I am, has been a walk of trying to be real with me, trying to be honest with me, not for anybody else, for me. One of the things that I said with the anniversary of my mother's passing, being here 10 years, I wrote her open letter in our new magazine. I am of Bedell Magazine as we are celebrating the 10th year of my mother's passing. And I wrote my mom the letter that says, "Your absence was the key to my healing." I stand on that. When I think about the foundation that was created for me, it really, really, really made me as a mom understand the foundation for my children, for my grandson. But when I wrote at the time, it was my kids, and the foundation was heavy. I needed to make sure the foundation was solid because mine was not. As this is a authentic podcast, me being honest and all those things, having 5 different elementary schools in 4 years, being picked on, being talked about, being called stank, being smelled, being told to suck it up, being told, look here, words are powerful. And I'm, as an adult, I had to start realizing words were so powerful to where I changed the way I speak. I speak positive because it is important to speak positive. It is essential to speak positive. And I stand on the fact that at the end of the day, that little girl was absolutely damaged. I have been in war and my life has been in the military. And let me tell you, the damage I got as a kid outweighs the damage I dealt with as in war. And that's being honest. My spirit was broken. What I thought was right was broken because I really didn't know. Is this right? Is it not? What is it? I really had to be honest with myself. So this particular chapter, these two chapters really give you the basis of what is about to be digged into. And I'm going to tell you, as we are preparing for the next couple of chapters, because like I said, chapter 4 is a doozy, we got to get prepared. And so one of the things that I stand on is the fact that through the pain of the foundation, having to really, really embrace that foundation was absolutely important. Writing about the foundation was important because, as the word says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1:1, the King James Version. Let me give you an understanding of the beginning. We can set forth in the beginning something, and it can go on for years. So for those individuals, you're out there, you're listening, you can speak one thing that can carry on for years, okay? You can say something that sticks, that stays, that does not maneuver in the operation that you wanted, and it's there until you change it. My mother meant so much to me that her words stayed. They were powerful. And we don't realize that our words are powerful. When I look at the foundation, I see this little girl. I again go back to the foundation that was set for her. It's not the foundation I stand on now. Generation curses are huge. They are huge. They are huge. They are real. They are. They make you wonder what's real and what's not. And the illusions is, I don't know no better. And so one of the things that I leave with you today is this. I need you to deep dive. What is your foundation? And one of the biggest things I will leave you with is, what is your first hurt? What is your first hurt? I asked that question in my workbook. What is my first hurt? And like I said, I had a whole list of, this is the order, and God just seems to be doing other stuff. So if I seem a little off, I'm sorry. I am literally going with what he's flowing with. Okay. What is your first hurt? And so you answer that question for yourself, but what is your first hurt? And so for me, my first hurt was literally, y'all, seeing my mother in a DV relationship, even at the age of 3. My first hurt, though, really contribute to the first chapter of my book, Foundation, when, I kid you not, the name calling, the, as we, I got a word for it now, adultification. And we're going to get into that throughout this book, the adultification that went on in my life. But for me, the first hurt was being that child on that merry-go-round being sniffed, and I had no one to go to. I had no protection. I had no one looking out for me. I just wrote something that said, they always say you got that praying grandmama, whatever. And nothing against my grandmother, but at that moment in my life, who was praying for me? I don't know. And now, as I have grown into my Christianity, my faith, my beliefs, I know God was setting me up. And when the Bible says he knew us from the time we was formed in the womb, before we was formed in the womb, y'all, that hits me hard. Because now at 41, I'm like, for real, God? Like, you knew, because I hear people question all the time, why do God allow us to go through these bad things? One of the things I had to learn is, first of all, a lot of times we make decisions ourselves. We make decisions ourselves. I think about Job in the Bible. Job, child of God, man of God. And Satan was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And God was like, time out. And Satan was like, well, he ain't going to, you know, call for you anyway. And the biggest thing that stood out to me in chapter 3 of Job that I literally just read yesterday, he cursed his own birth after losing everything. And I remember being that person, and we'll get into that later on in the book too, but I remember I wanted to die because I remember everything. Everything stacked up. So my first hurt was, no kidding, remembering that little girl on the playground having a great time, and something about me just set people off. And it was the external, and my internal burned so hard. It burned. And so my snackatula self, I can remember now as an adult, that little girl hurt a lot. And so when like I said, we are going to be, talking about the faith, forgiveness, the freedom, and what it looks like, how it looks, what it means. And I pray you guys stay on this journey with me, because, again, I'm not upset. I'm not mad anymore. I'm ecstatic. I think now the emotions is because I'm watching people go through the exact same thing. And I'm like, God, what can I do? And so in my head, it was like, I can't believe I went through this. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Okay. So thank you guys for joining me on today's episode as we talked about the introductions and foundation. Prepare yourself for the next episode where we talk about a child's fear. Baby, let me tell y'all something. Yeah, it's coming. Child's fear is coming. I don't even know. Yeah, it's coming. So again, get ready. We're going to talk again. You will be hearing from individuals that will be on the show as we hitting certain subjects anyway. So just be prepared. Do know you can catch me again. You can catch this show Tuesdays and Thursdays as usual, but we're going to see how the flow of this goes. But Tuesdays and Thursdays as usual. But you can definitely catch, listen to us on iamsartoria.podbean.com. You can also catch us on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora. You can also watch us on YouTube. So many places you guys can catch us up on. And oh my God, again, get your book, okay? Let me, get your book. I can't say that enough. Get your book. iamsartoria.com/merch. Catch your book. Start reading it. We also have the workbook. Get your workbook. Actually, I got to order more workbooks because we only have one left, and I only have 9 of these books here left. So got to go order. And as a matter of fact, I'm about to be down to 4. I'm about to be down to 4 books here this week, actually. So catch your book. Also catch our magazine. The dedication issue and the first issue are out. We are preparing for our second issue, which will be released May 16th. So make sure you come through, start reading so you don't have to catch up. All right. I'll be back with our final word here in about 16 seconds. And again, make sure. So that's the book again right there. But I'll be back with our final word here in a few. In a few. All right. Yeah. It's the day, y'all. All right. So as we are ending today's show, I promise you we'll be better again. It's just I had a plan and God be doing other plans, but it's okay. I want to leave y'all with my final say, as I always say, walk in love, live fearlessly, and have a whole lot of faith. It's amazing how faith really does a thing. So again, make sure you are checking in, come through. We will be talking about this, and we're gonna do what we do. All right. So again, get ready for the next episode as we are preparing. So get ready for chapter 2, A Child's Fear. All right. This one is gonna be interesting, and I hope you guys are ready. All right. So again, I love you guys. You guys rock, walk in love, live fearlessly, and have a whole a lot of faith. I'm telling y'all, y'all got to have it. All right. Love you guys. I will talk to you guys later.